Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Hey, everybody. God bless you. I hope you're having a great day and a great week. Well, before we get into the Word of God, I've got a couple of announcements for everyone. First of all, you can mark your calendars for our monthly Bible study. It's from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's happening actually tomorrow at 7 p.m. We're reading the book of Acts, and so that you're up to date and ready, you can read the book of Acts, chapters 21 and 22. Again, that is tomorrow, February 12th at 7 p.m. All right. Also, Women of Virtue, please join us in our Kingdom Cafe as we have our cafe conversations. It takes place Saturday, February 14th from 10 a.m. to noon. So looking forward to seeing each other there. Also, our Men's Connect group with our Dominion Mandate. Hoo-ah! So join us every fourth Saturday. Join them in every fourth Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. to gather together, sharpen each other. This is the men have received a kingdom mandate to take dominion. Amen. Leaders, all leaders, husbands, fathers, and warriors in Christ. The fellowship is for 18 and over, and it'll take place in Salon 4 on February 28th. So come ready to be challenged, strengthened, and empowered. Praise God. Every man should be taking territory in 2026. All right, well, we're going to get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here tonight. You are the teacher. You are the revealer to the body of Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in our midst, for blessing this time, making this time together over these devices, making that time matter. So we just thank you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Anything, if you need to remind me of scripture, remind me of examples, I am ready and listening. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, can somebody say amen? Well, last week, I wanted to kind of piggyback on last week. It's hard to finish a topic like that. But I had talked about how our situation is not unique. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. And it says, "For no temptation, no trial, regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes," or now not every trial is enticed to sin that we think about as far as sin, but sin would be any disobedience to God and his will. "No matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid you." So no temptation has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience. In other words, God won't allow us to go through something that humans can't handle, right? "But God is faithful." Somebody say, "But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance." Amen. We've heard people say, look, if you're currently faced with something, it's only because, not that God caused it or sent it, but you're facing it only because God already knows that you can push through this. Amen. And it says, "beyond your ability and strength for resistance and power to endure, but with the temptation, he will always," this is the Amplified, "he will always," can you say always? I mean, I don't know about you, but I get a lot of confidence in that, comfort in that, the fact that whatever I'm facing, God already, he already knows. And then it says, but with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. So we see here that, first of all, nothing that any of us, I mean, we might feel like, oh my God, this couldn't possibly have ever happened to anyone else. But we can say that it has. We all have the same needs. We all have to go through stages of our Christian walk, right? But this is saying that our problem is not unique. And I like the fact that knowing that your situation is not unique, then we can have hope. We don't have to say, this is too hard. This is even too hard for God. Nah, come on, y'all. You know that's not true. You know nothing is too hard for God. And the fact that we have to always remember to have faith in God, to trust him, that he won't allow us to go through things that we cannot get through, right? So God is faithful. He's faithful. But tonight, I want to add to that. I want to add to that. And so if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to James chapter 1. I know you've all heard this, right? James chapter 1, you've read these verses. You've probably heard them over and over and over again, but we're going to read them again tonight. And we're going to start in verse 2. This is being written by James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, so to the believers. Verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, first of all, seriously, count it all joy? Who in their right mind, or who's not in their right spiritual mind, who in their natural mind is going to count a trial and a test as something to have joy? You know, we think we can't even fast hardly with a smile on our face, let alone going through a trial or a test and having joy. But I entitled this, I'll take some joy with that trial. I'll take some joy with that trial. But it sounds ridiculous. It can sound ridiculous to the natural mind when you're having a trial. You need to count it all joy. Like, you're having a trial? Hey, let's get happy. Let's get happy. So, but James is telling us something, and God is telling us something here. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. All of us. Dr. Miles Monroe used to say years ago, he said it just like James is saying, that's where he got it from. He says that our faith must be tested. Now, 1 Peter 1:7 talks about our faith being tested like fire tries and tests and purifies gold. So when our tests and trials, they are going to put us through some stages and steps. I'm going to read to you when I used AI on James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. It says James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 teaches that believers should find joy in trials because they test faith. In other words, trials test faith, okay? We have to know that our faith, our reliance upon God is going to hold up. We need to know. We need to know for future, so that we know when we have faced one trial, we got through it, we came out with flying colors, God was faithful, then that causes us to have more immediate trust when we face the next trial, knowing that God, you know, we've come to trust him, knowing that God, he got me through that last trial, he's going to get me through this one. And of course, we all know that God wants to use all of us. We're all here on purpose and for a purpose. And it says that trials test faith, producing endurance, which we'll look at the definition of patience in that scripture. Endurance, which means steadfastness, that leads to spiritual maturity and completeness. Rather than passive resignation, these various trials are purposeful, refining, and meant to develop character and perseverance. You know, as I was writing notes for this message, I really felt a burden for our young people, for young adults, for anybody under 35, even 40 years old, growing up, 35 and under, growing up under a culture and in a world where everything is always moving, there's quick fixes, everything's fast, nobody is used to waiting for anything anymore. But our young Christians, all of us, of course, but our young Christians, they're going to have to learn how to persevere and go through trials and tests, just like everybody else in the body of Christ, no matter what the age or no matter how seasoned. It's just a part of growing up spiritually. We must grow up spiritually, again, because we're here on purpose and for purpose. So therefore, we have to be ready. We have to be prepped. We have to be refined, right? And I have the definition of joy. I got this definition. I had to pull out my old Bible because I hadn't memorized it. But the definition of joy that I learned when I was in Bible college years ago. And the definition of joy, which is the word chara, or I can't say it in Greek or Latin accent, chara, C-H-A-R-A, and it means the emotional excitement, gladness, and delight over blessings received. Anybody receive any blessings since you've been born again? Yep. Over blessings received or expected for self and others. Let me read that again. Joy, chara. It is the definition of joy in the scriptures. It's the emotional excitement, gladness, delight over blessings received, thank you, Jesus, or expected. Look, we should always be believing God for something, using our faith for something, because we should be growing spiritually, right? So we should be going from faith to faith. We should be going from glory to glory. Every time we win, it makes God look good. Every time we come through, and push through using our faith and maturing, God gets glory. Whenever something good happens, the credit goes to God every time. And so it says here in James chapter 1 that when we're faced with a trial, we have to count it all joy. Or another version says, consider it all joy, or consider it joy. So to me, that means when a trial comes, we're going to have to add something to that. Along with the trial, joy, the emotional excitement. This is, of course, we know, according to Galatians chapter 5, that joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, we have to understand that it's in us. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him. You and I, we have to, when we face trials and things that are not so happy, you know, not so encouraging or whatever, we have to stir up and utilize whatever God has given us. I remember years ago, somebody wrote the book, I can't remember who it was, but I believe the book was called The Force of Joy. The Force of Joy. Now, a force is anything that has force, obviously power, but it has the power to accelerate things, or it has the ability to decelerate. That is a word, right? To slow things down. And so knowing that that joy is a force, then in my humble opinion, when a trial comes, joy, we can activate joy. Now, it also says we have to activate our patience, which is steadfast endurance. It's the word patience here, it doesn't mean just waiting quietly and waiting patiently. It's more of a position. It's almost like it's not passive. It's doing something. And when we count it all joy, like here comes a trial. All right, let me get my joy together. I'm going to make myself, because of this trial's here, I'm going to make myself be emotionally excited, right? That means we're going to be talking the right things. I'm ready to be emotionally excited. I'm still going to remain glad. I'm still going to have delight over blessings received, because even when the test or trial comes, we have some blessings right there. We got, whether it was that day or the day before or weeks before, but we've received blessings. I mean, just getting born again is being blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper. But when the trial comes, that means that James is telling us we're going to have to pick up our joy. We're going to have to stir up our joy. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Or we could say, the joy of the Lord is a force, is our force. It helps us to get through this thing. And so even when we're going through a trial, we should still have the expectation of blessings for self and others even before we get through it. You understand what I'm saying? So we know what it's like to have an attitude. When you have a positive attitude, that makes a big difference in your life as well. So when we're going through a trial or a test, our faith is being tested. It must be tested. I've heard years ago, and I use it often, that how deep the foundation of a building is how high the architect can build the building over top of the foundation. So we can look at it when a trial comes like, okay, God's working on something. He's working on something. He's getting me ready for something. He wants to build something on me. He wants to add something to my life. And I have to go through this testing. You know, being a Christian, I have found that being a Christian is not for the fearful. Being a Christian is not for the timid. Being a Christian, there are times that you have to be tough. Sometimes you have to be rough when it comes to the enemy, amen, not people. But if we're going to fulfill the plan of God in our lives, we have to toughen up. And so, you know, they teased Paul about being small. They teased Paul about his stature. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, yeah, you can talk about me, my physical condition, but when I show up, you're going to see power and demonstration of the Spirit. Okay, you can tease me about my outside appearance, but on the inside, I'm trusting God, and I'm big on the inside, and I'll show you my faith by showing you my works. So even you and me, we can't base our purpose in God based on what we look like on the outside. No matter how small we are, how big we are, it doesn't matter where we grew up, it doesn't matter our current resources, we can't allow our physical appearance or physical body to determine what we're going to push through. And we shouldn't let our outward appearance determine that we're going to lose before we even prove that we can win, amen, in Christ Jesus. So according to AI or Google, it says, count it all joys. They said that term means this is a deliberate intellectual decision, an attitude shift to view difficulties as opportunities for growth. Isn't that, it's different. When you look at something as a trial and drudgery, oh my God, what's happening? I have to go through this again. Or there's a big difference when you look at it as an opportunity for growth. Again, you have to toughen up as a Christian. You know, we can't just want everything easy, right? We don't want everything to be like super easy because we want to develop. We want to grow in Christ. And so he said to count it all joy. And this is a deliberate intellectual. My definition from Bible college says the emotional excitement, gladness, delight over blessings received. And it's saying here as opportunity, it's a deliberate intellectual decision, an attitude shift. I'm going to say attitude shift. Years ago, we used to say attitude check, you know, just to get the youth, if they were having some type of attitude, called it an attitude check, right? So a trial, we have to count it all joy, number one, and then we have to see it as an opportunity for growth, rather than just negative, painful experiences. I was thinking about it this way. When we are faced with some type of test or trial or challenge, you know, we can, if we're not careful, we can take it personal. I remember when things were happening in my life, like one thing after another, and I've shared with you plenty of times where I ask God, how much do you think I can take, right? But I think that's because we see a trial or a test. In other words, everything's not like easy peasy, easy street at the moment. But we need to stop looking at a trial as we've lost, as it's an occasion of us losing. We have not lost. When we're faced with a test or trial, we have not lost anything. We can lose it. We can lose the opportunity. You know, if you want to get to second grade, you're going to have to go through first grade, right? And so that's the progression. We can accelerate, you know, the process, but you have to go through, you have to live out each stage. So when we're faced with a test or trial, and it happens when we're believing God for something. Anybody believe in God for something? And whether it's a job, whether it's a child, a baby, whether it's a relationship healing, whether it's a husband, to believe God for a husband, to believe God for a wife, you know, anything, or just believing God to move in his power. We want to progress in the Lord. So we have to begin to see a trial as an opportunity to succeed, an opportunity to grow in the Lord. We all have to. God wants to use all of us. He doesn't have a bench. He doesn't have a part of his team. He doesn't want part of his team sitting on a bench. No, he wants all of us in the game. And of course, we're in the game to win. We're in the game to win, right? So, so we have to have joy, and we have to look at it as an opportunity, this trial to look at it as an opportunity to grow, not as an opportunity to fail. So we have to stop seeing a test or trial as a reason or opportunity to fail. No, it is an opportunity for us to grow. Let's keep reading. In the Amplified, in James chapter 1, it says, verse 3, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance, bring out, I circled that in my Bible, that the trial and proving of your faith. Remember, God won't let you go through something that you can't bear up under, that you can't survive. And as we're bearing up under, as we're going through a test or trial, that it's going to bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. This is the Amplified version. Verse 4, it says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. I thought that was cool to say, let endurance, they translated it patience, but it really means the kind of the stick-to-itness, the like when you go through a marathon, you don't finish the race unless you go all the way through. You have to run at whatever pace it is all the way through, or you're disqualified. You're done. You can't stop. You can't sit down. You have to maintain your pace, maintain your breath, all the things that they have to do to get all the way through a marathon. They want to finish. And so they do what's necessary. So James is telling us here that that you have to let endurance or steadfastness, or it's translated patience in the King James Version, you have to let it, where's my word? Verse 3, the proving of your faith, let it bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. So, how many of you would say, whatever trial you're going through, you just need to get, whether it's getting stronger in your love walk, whether you need to get stronger in believing that God is going to rescue you out of every situation. That's why it's so important to me, in my opinion, for us to be so careful of how we use our words and how we use our voice. And sometimes we have to go through stuff because we've created things with our mouths. We've created things with our bad confessions, right? We've caused us to have to go through unnecessary things because we've been whining or complaining. So we have to shut that down. We have to learn how to shut that down so that we don't go through things that are unnecessary, things that are not going to build our faith necessarily, right? But just take us through some trouble. I mean, eventually, if you want to get out of it, you're going to have to use your faith and patience. But James is telling us here that endurance or patience, stick-to-itness, it's doing something. We need it. We need endurance. We need patience. We need to stick to what we've already seen, the progress that we've already seen in our lives, the promise that we believe in God for. We have to make sure. Now, a trial comes. When we say we're going to believe God for something, then a trial can come because you're going to be tested. Let me see if she really means that, right? or if he really means that, if they really think God is going to do such and such. And so the trial comes to prove it. We need to know. We need to know so that we can move on to bigger and better things. So patience is working on something. And it says in verse 4, it says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed. Listen to this. Listen, I think we all agree with this. That we would be perfectly and fully developed with no defects. Wow. No defects. I don't know about you, but I don't like defects, right? So it says that when we go through it, if we count the trial as joy, if we let patient endurance work, and it says to let it work. So we have to let it. We have to be patient with patience. We have to be patient with endurance. We have to adopt the same characteristics as patience. We need to stick to it. It's steadfastness or patience. It means stick to it power. It means endurance. We talked about a marathon. It means staying power. One of the examples I wrote down, you know, you ever been in line for a concert or something and you're not moving. You're not getting out of place. You got this ticket. You're going to see this concert and nobody can move you. Or I also imagine being at the airport and how they have standby lists. Well, I'm not getting out of order. I'm not getting out of order. I'm not losing my place. I'm going to stand here no matter how many people try to push me, no matter how many people try to make me think, no, that's their seat. You know, in other words, we're not going to be moved. We're not going to be moved off of what we're believing God for, the very thing that our faith is being tested for. Did that make sense to you? So we're not leaving. Well, I'm not moving. I'm not moving until I get my promise. I'm not moving until I see that job. I'm not moving until I see my healing. I'm not moving until I see my family restored. I'm not moving even when they said no. I just shared with somebody recently, you know, years ago, just one lesson. You know, we say one word from God can change your life. But just one lesson that I learned years ago when Dr. Lamont and I had made a decision, I would go back to work. And so we prayed together and they weren't hunting for me, but I wanted to work at the bank where I used to work. Because when you work at a bank, I guess it's still the case, you get employee discounts on mortgage, on the interest on mortgage. And so we had decided I was going to go back to work. We were going to seek to purchase a house, and then we would get a mortgage with a reduced interest rate. So when I first called them, the supervisor from that department, he said, he called me after in response to me, and he said that there was no budget, no money in the budget to hire me. And so I was ready to get upset, and you know, I called Dr. Lamont, and he said, well, Connie, that's what we're believing God for. That's what you're believing God for, to go back, get a job, and get a good mortgage rate on a new home. And so what he inspired me to do is to stick to what I was believing. Look, when we believe God for anything, that's progress. and that's focus. If we believe God for anything, that's progress. Amen. And so I went back to holding on to what we touched and agreed on, which was to get a job there. And I'm not sure how much time went by. maybe 2 weeks. It wasn't long. It wasn't long at all. They called back. Guess what? They found money in the budget to hire me back. Well, that was God. That was God. Dr. Lamont and I, we touched and agreed on something. We were focused on something. We were focused on a blessing. We were in one accord, and God moved in our lives. So I use that as an example of, you know, when we're believing God for something, when something comes in, when something slips in that's contrary to what you're believing God for, you got to hold on to that thing. You got to hold on to that promise. You have to hold on to that blessing. You got to stick to it. You have to stick to it. Amen. A couple other definitions for that is to remain in one spot. That word, patience. It means to remain in one spot. It means to keep a position. It means to resolve to maintain some territory that has been gained. Well, when we touched and agreed, as far as I was concerned, we had gained some territory. And so when a word came against us, we decided, nope, we're going to hold on. We're going to stick to it. And so how many of you know when after that happened, that took Dr. Lamont and I to a different level of faith, right? Again, faith, from faith to faith. So we believed him for the company to hire me back and get a mortgage and buy a house. And then later on, something else came to challenge our faith. And then we made it through that. And then, you know, we believe God for something else because we believe that he's good and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when another trial came, we came through on that trial. So we're supposed to be progressing, right? Because God loves us. He has compassion on us. He's got great plans for our life. But he gave us something, and that's why I said, I'll take some joy with that trial. So the joy is going to lessen the pressure, lessen even the severity of the test or trial, because you're too busy being excited about blessings received and blessings expected, not only for yourself, but for others. Right? How many of you ever had joy for expectations for others? Yes, that excited because other people were being blessed, right? So that joy comes along with the trial. Again, the trial does not mean we have to stop seeing the trial. We have to stop seeing the roadblock. We have to stop seeing the evil report as us losing. That is not God's purpose for a test or trial. That is not God's focus. That is not the outcome that he's going for. He wants us to grow. He wants us to win. He wants us to see it as an opportunity to be spiritually stronger, right? Because he wants to use all of us in the future. Amen? So, can I get some joy with that trial? And the Lord says, yes, because you can stir it up yourself because it's already on the inside of you as a fruit of the Spirit. And that joy is a force. It moves things. It helps things along. And so when James told us, you know, again, as if you're not born again, to consider it all joy when you fall into many tests and trials, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That sounds like torture. It sounds like torture. But we have the joy of the Lord on the inside of us, again, which is a force. It's something that we can draw on to get us through every test, every trial, every temptation, knowing that the trying and testing of our faith produces things. It causes us to have more and more spiritual stamina. It causes us to adapt quickly to a challenge, knowing that we're going to win in the end, that the goal of it is to make us, it says, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Look, when we go through a trial, it might feel like we're losing and we're doing without. But in the end, we're not going to lack anything. And I wanted to piggyback from where we were last week because, you know, we don't need a whole lot of help when everything's cool. We don't need a whole lot of cheerleading when we're already happy ourselves. But when we're going through things, so it might not be you tonight or today, but we're all going to go through some testing to refine our faith and to perfect our faith. Amen. I want to read this last thing. According to the Strong's Concordance, the word patience, also interpreted endurance, it says it this way. In the New Testament, it's the character of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose. Okay, what's that? That's the promise. That's getting the things that you're believing God for, healing, peace, a job, a spouse, a family, all those things. In the New Testament, it's the characteristic of a man or a woman who is not swerved from his or her deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. I wrote down here, in other words, holding your ground. We want to hold our ground. When a test or trial comes, when we're being challenged, our faith is being challenged, we're going to put both of our feet down. We're going to stand against the enemy. We're going to pull up. We're going to draw on the joy of the Lord, which is our strength that's always on the inside of us that we can tap into at every moment of every day, especially when we're faced with a test or a trial, right? And so it's a characteristic, patience in this verse, endurance in this verse. We want endurance to have his perfect work. We want to let it. So when a trial comes, we need to go like this. Patience. Okay, I'm going to flow in you. I'm going to flow. I'm going to go through, and I'm going to be all the better as a result of it. Amen. Well, I need to stop. Praise the Lord. Again, we have our men's thing coming up on February 28th, our Dominion Mandate, our Men's Connect group. And then we have our women Bible study tomorrow at 7 p.m. I hope to see you there. All right, everybody. I love you. Bye.
We're excited to invite you to join us for our monthly Bible study held every second Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We are continuing to explore the powerful book of Acts and then on to the book of Ephesians, a journey that will inspire and challenge us all. Whether you're new to the Bible study or a seasoned reader, you'll find this study to be engaging and enriching. To make the most of our time together, read the chapters noted ahead of time and come ready to dive in. Be sure to jot down any questions or thoughts. Whether you're bringing questions, thoughts, or just an open heart, you'll be a vital part of this exciting study. We can't wait to see you there. Mark your calendars. Let's make this Bible study one to remember. Calling all women of virtue. We're delighted to invite you to our monthly small group sessions entitled Cafe Conversations. This is a wonderful opportunity for women 18 and over to come together, connect, and share in a warm, welcoming environment. Inspire each other and grow together. We can't wait to see you there. Let's make these gatherings something special. For more details, call the church or feel free to reach out to Elder Ida Mischer.